Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is actually my nephew, a remarkable man that I have known since the time he was a baby. And I'm delighted to have David Wood with me. And David, welcome to Abiding in Christ.
Thank you for having me, sir.
I obviously have known David's father for all my life because he's my older brother. And so his dad can say that he has known me all my life. And I can only say I've known him all my life, too. But my older brother, John, is now retired from many, many years of serving the Lord in the pastorate. But David, growing up in a pastor's home, was not always walking the straight and narrow, shall we say, and has had quite an adventurous journey. But in the midst of it, God was very merciful and not only preserved him, but restored him to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember David as a boy having a very tender heart, and yet the pull of the world was very, very strong. And David, whatever he does it wholeheartedly. And so whether we're talking about athletic endeavors or whether we're talking about sinning, David did it wholeheartedly. And God has rescued him, and I am so thankful. We've been having a delightful visit here at Ware's Valley Ranch. His wife and two youngest children have been here for part of the day, and we've just had some wonderful fellowship. And I asked him if he would come into the studio and talk with us about God's mercy toward him and where he is now in his life. David, again, welcome to Abiding in Christ.
Thank you, Uncle Jim. It's great to be here.
You grew up in New England and in South Carolina and in Tennessee, and then you grew up in the Marine Corps. So talk with us a little bit about that journey along the way and kind of what some of the struggles were. It had to be, in many ways, challenging to be the son of a well-known, well-loved pastor.
Yes, sir. Growing up, I had a great childhood. My mother and father were incredible parents. We did move around quite a bit. I think that, you know, making friends in an area as a kid and kind of being pulled around, you change your identity, especially moving from the north down to the mm-hmm. to the south. Mm-hmm. I was a small kid. I was 144 pounds wet when I joined the Marine Corps. And I think I always understood the atonement. I have always loved the Lord. I've always had faith. I understood reconciliation. I didn't embrace it, and mm-hmm. I didn't understand sanctification at all. Mm-hmm. I understood we asked Christ to come into our hearts, and then we're saved. And as I understood it in my young years, mm-hmm. and just with my own interpersonal relationship, kind of that was it. Mm-hmm. I understood the Father, I understood the Son, mm-hmm. but I didn't understand the Holy Spirit. I didn't mm-hmm. understand sanctification. I had no idea what dying to the self meant. Mm-hmm. And at a very young age, having men like you, having men like my Uncle Bill mm-hmm. and my father in my life that were on fire mm-hmm. for Christ, it was very intimidating, mm-hmm. Especially as a little guy,
yeah.
thinking, how do I show authenticity?
Yeah.
How do I walk this? What have I done? You know, mm-hmm. I'm not sacrificing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just kind of here. And, you know, all of my pain was self-chosen.
Mm-hmm.
I went off the rails. I honestly believe Satan trying to derail my father. I think
yes.
It was a huge part of my going off into the darkness, into drugs, was Satan really, really trying to knock my father
yeah.
away from being able to lead his flock.
Yes.
So I got heavily into drugs, you know, started off just smoking weed and then got into harder and harder things and went off the rails. I always had a pretty easy time in school getting it. I've always loved mm-hmm. to read and mm-hmm. God, you know, has blessed the woods with enjoying education.
Yes.
So that, you know, that I never just hated school and wanted to quit. So I graduated from high school and went into the Marine Corps mm-hmm. and really didn't have an identity of what a warrior was, especially a warrior for Christ,
mm-hmm.
what real masculinity meant.
Mm-hmm.
And the Marine Corps is an amazing place to build warriors and to mm-hmm. build patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And it built up all of the aesthetics and the facade of the masks and the outer shell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Apostle Paul gives us the full armor of God.
Yes.
And I'm wearing the breastplate. I'm wearing the Kevlar.
Mm-hmm.
I have the sword.
Yeah.
I have the shield, but none of it's godly.
Yes.
None of it's godly. Mm-hmm. And I'm a combat vet. I was deployed nonstop the entire time. I found a close group of guys. You know, I was infantry 0311 and then selected for SRIG, Surveillance Reconnaissance Intelligence Group. So got to really go into kind of a more top tier unit
mm-hmm.
and where we were really didn't have eyes on us all the time and could do our own thing. So
yeah.
A lot of drug abuse there, a lot of heavy, heavy drinking, and high tempo, dangerous operations.
Yeah. Where were some of the places you served? You were deployed, I know, in Afghanistan.
First deployment was down in Panama, mm-hmm. Doing jungle operations. We were down doing sensor operations against mm-hmm. the FARC mm-hmm. and handing over the Panama Canal mm-hmm. in 99. Then I went on a deployment over to the Balkans
mm-hmm.
Under Clinton. Mm-hmm. We were there when Milosevic was pulled out of power. The coal got bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was flying back from a desert operation training on 9/11 as a sergeant
mm-hmm.
with my son in tow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And landed on 9/11 and then went with the very first boots on the ground from Oman to Pakistan and into Kandahar mm-hmm. to take Kandahar and then Khost.
Mm-hmm.
And so just, you know, very intense time. Got out of the Marine Corps with my team of guys that I'd served with, and we thought we were invincible. I was a big guy. I'm now, you know, 210 pounds. Night and day from when I went in the Marines
mm-hmm.
and, you know, tattooed up, thinking I'm an alpha male and lifting weights, drinking heavy, drugging. And I go to get my regular physical tests
mm-hmm.
and the doctor said, hey, we do Hep C tests now as well. We're going to test you for Hep A, Hep B, and Hep C. And I'd usually just gone in for HIV and,
yep.
you know, all the other stuff. And my doctor called me back in and said, we need to do a liver biopsy. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And my liver was just shot. I mm-hmm. was inflamed with mm-hmm. hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. And it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am thinking I am what a man is supposed to be. I'm strong. I'm a combat vet. I'm a warrior. Mm-hmm. I've got my crew of brothers around me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a patriot. You know, we're kind of above the law. We're mm-hmm. we're here. We're our own gods. Mm-hmm. And my options were wait for a liver transplant, which no one was going to give a young drug addict, or do experimental chemotherapy.
Yeah.
I chose to do the experimental chemotherapy, and it was heavy Pegasus interferon and ribavirin. Being a gung-ho Marine, I didn't go in and get my weight and everything done so that they could moderate the amount that I was supposed to be taking. I just filled up the prescription and started taking it, doing the mm-hmm. liver injections and taking mm-hmm. the ribavirin to increase the potency of the chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up doing enough for somebody who was about 6'4" and 260 pounds
wow.
for an entire year. My muscle mass disappeared. My mm-hmm. hair fell out. My libido was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I started getting sores all over my body. I mean, mm-hmm. all these things. My looks, my build, mm-hmm. my friends, my relationships, couldn't go out and drink, couldn't hang out with the guys, couldn't exercise, mm-hmm. not attractive to women. All of these things that I thought defined me, all of these false masks, mm-hmm. all of these shells mm-hmm. were taken away, and I was just left mm-hmm. like Gollum. You know, I literally yeah. was just this ugly, rotting guy.
And potentially dying,
and too. Potentially dying. And that year was the sweetest year of my life to date at that time. Mm-hmm. I read Viktor mm-hmm. Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And, you know, my mother was, rest her soul, was a Messianic Jew, and she had me read Viktor Frankl years and years ago, and I picked it back up. I enrolled in UT to use the GI Bill, double majored philosophy and religious studies, because I just had time to read. So mm-hmm. I took 20 hours a semester and 12 in the summer, and I was reading Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, where he says you've got to be, you know, he's the creator of logotherapy, which gets mm-hmm. you away from psychoanalysis. Psychoanalysis mm-hmm. saying, you're a victim. Mm-hmm. You're a victim. Logotherapy saying, okay, you're suicidal. Well, why haven't you killed yourself? Mm-hmm. And people will say, well, I love my son, or I mm-hmm. love my father. And, well, there you have a reason to live. Mm-hmm. Go live. Mm-hmm. Go live. And he says, are you willing to bear your own cross? And I read that, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I realized I don't have to bear my own cross. Mm-hmm. All of these burdens, all of this pain, all of this shame, all of this pain that I've been carrying with me and building up, Satan can't use it against me anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can put all of this at the cross of Christ.
Praise God.
He has died for me. I am baptized in his blood.
Praise God.
I'm cleaned white as snow. And that was really the turning point where I knew that I was going to heaven. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to be cured. I just realized, you know, Lord, have mercy on me, but I love you. You are my king. You are my salvation. Mm-hmm. And I had complete peace. Fast forward 4 months, and I went to get my liver biopsy. I'd done it a year, and I was miraculously cured.
Praise God.
Gastrointestinal couldn't find any hep C. They did another liver biopsy. They couldn't believe it.
Praise God.
And God rebuilt. Brick by brick, rebuilt my life from there. Yeah. I graduated from UT in 2008 and was offered a job doing mission work, highly sensitive liaison work in mm-hmm. China, based mm-hmm. out of Hong Kong. And mm-hmm. I knew immediately that's where God wanted me to be, mm-hmm. and that he had rescued me and saved me for that reason.
Praise God. And what God has done in your life since is quite amazing. You not only did that work there in China, but God has continued to bless you in business. Physically, you are a champion. No one would guess you had ever been through a bout with cancer. You've been somebody that trains other people in physical, not just fitness, but strength training. And I've watched some of your stuff online. It's not just impressive, it's almost scary. And you've loved adventure, you've loved, you know, climbing, and have done some very daring things. Talk with us a little bit about the Spartan things that you've done, where you've trained folks that way.
So Spartan Extreme Endurance is kind of the creme de la creme, the top tier of the big, you know, global brand Spartan race that Joe DeSena started. Joe DeSena is a Wall Street guy, dear friend of mine, endurance athlete. And they reached out to me. I've got a company called Virtus Outdoor Group. Virtus is Latin for warrior virtues. Mm-hmm. And when I was a philosophy major at UT and was already seeing this kind of leftist, neo-Marxist takeover, I just thought of the full armor of God. I thought about the warrior virtues mm-hmm. and the fruits of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And so VOG, Virtus Outdoor Group, is also Virtues of God. So Joe DeSena reached out and said, David, we want to use your clothing and we want to use you and your pro staff to come and lead these agogis. And they do, an agogi is once a year, and it's a 100-hour endurance evolution with weighted ruck. I've done them in Mongolia, Namibia, Naxos, Greece, the Arabian Desert outside of Abu Dhabi. And yeah, they're basically the hardest endurance evolutions on earth. So I've gotten to lead those, you know, constantly for the past 5 years and incorporate that with my company.
Pretty good for a guy who was nearly dead.
Right, right.
Now, along the way, God also has blessed you with an absolutely beautiful wife who isn't just physically beautiful, but who is a beautiful person and a follower of Jesus. Talk with us a little bit about Viva.
My wife, Viva, is from Lithuania. I met her in Hong Kong. We've been married just as of yesterday, 9 years.
Great.
9 years strong. We have two lovely daughters who were born 3 months premature, and were 400 grams each on death's doorstep. And God has rescued them. You just got to see them and have lunch with them. They're healthy and strong.
Yes.
Viva's just been an absolute rock in my life. She is a follower of Christ. She's a very strong woman, and she is and loves being a mother, loves being a wife, and loves being a godly, my Eve, my helper.
Amen. Now, when you met her, she was working as a model, is that right?
Yes, she was a model in Hong Kong doing modeling and a makeup artist. She double majored business and psychology in Lithuania, and then got an opportunity to come to Hong Kong and just kind of like me, hustled and said, okay, we'll go in this direction. We'll do this direction. And she found some stuff that she loved and has been doing that. So,
and she's been a real encouragement to you in your walk with God.
She's been my rock.
Praise God.
She's been the best. Yeah.
Praise God.
She actually got me back into the outdoors in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is such a mega city.
Yes.
And there wouldn't be Virtus Outdoor Group without her. She got me when I first met her and started dating her. She didn't want to go out in town. She doesn't drink. She didn't ever want to go out to fancy dinners. She wanted to hike. She didn't want to hang out at night. She didn't want to, none of this stuff. So it was, I think we were together 5 months before she even held my hand.
That's great.
And so she's
good girl.
She's been an absolute rock. Yeah.
Well, I want folks to understand, if you had known David in high school, you would have wondered if God was ever going to be able to do anything with him. And if you'd known David when he was in the Marines, you'd have said, I think God's kind of walked away from that one. But God never walked away. God never does. God is faithful. God is merciful, and I know some of you who are listening right now are looking at your own life and wondering, is it too late for me? I've made so many mistakes. I've done so many things wrong. I don't deserve to be forgiven. And I would tell you, you are exactly right about that. You don't deserve to be forgiven. Neither do I. None of us deserves to be forgiven. But God forgives us not based on what we deserve, but based on his amazing grace. John Newton, who was a slave trader, who had been a slave trader, when he met the Lord, was so radically changed, and he wrote that song that is so well loved all around the world. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Years ago, we had a woman in our community whose family had become believers, and she was not a believer. And her family was really desperate to get her to come to church, which she was dead set against, but they knew that she liked to sing. And so they asked me if I would please invite her to come and sing in our morning worship service. And I said, I don't think so. She's not a believer. I just don't think we should. They said, we want her to come. We want her to hear you present the gospel. And that's the only way you're going to get her in here. And I said, well, what would she sing? And they said, she'll sing Amazing Grace. I said, okay, well, you can't go wrong with that. So she came and she had her guitar and she sat in the front. And when it was time for the special music, she began and she sang. She had a lovely voice, by the way. She sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. And I thought, oh no. But you know what? She did stay. She did hear the gospel. And eventually she did come to faith in Jesus Christ. And then she wanted to sing. And when she sang again, she sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amen. If you think you're a pretty good person And God's lucky to have you on the team. I've got news for you. You're not on the team. God doesn't save the self-righteous. Jesus came to save sinners. And that's what all of us are. Some folks do it in a very colorful way. Some folks do it in a more hidden, camouflaged way. But all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we sin, what we deserve is hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him, and the word there for believe is to trust, whoever trusts in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world would be saved. What you've heard David describe is that pivotal moment when he trusted Jesus. He believed in Jesus all those years since he was a child, but he wasn't trusting Jesus. And when he read Viktor Frankl's book saying, you've got to carry your own cross, then the gospel really came home to him. The Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see the truth. The Holy Spirit changed his heart to trust in Jesus and his finished work at the cross. It was a familiar story to David. It wasn't some new doctrine, but it was a new relationship, because now David was trusting in Jesus and not just believing intellectually that Jesus had died on the cross to pay for his sins. He now realized that because Jesus had done that, he didn't have to.
Amen.
And God not only spared his life, but transformed his life. I wish that you could be sitting here right now in this studio and see this man, this warrior, this champion who has been transformed by Jesus. I wish you could see the joy in his father's eyes when he is with David, or when he talks about David, or when he thinks about David, because he knows what it is himself to be the prodigal. My older brother was the prodigal in my family, and our dad was a pastor, and he loved the Lord, and he loved us. And I remember my older brother, John, encouraging me to live for the Lord at a time when he wasn't. He knew it was true. He didn't want to know it was true sometimes, because when he thought about the difference between what God says and what he did, he felt guilty. And so sometimes he entertained doubts. But in his heart of hearts, he knew. He didn't want his younger brother to make the same mistakes he did. But we both needed the same Savior. And that's the Savior David needed. And that's the Savior you need.
Amen.
The one who came for sinners. So I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, whatever you're up to, I want you to realize Jesus came for people like you. And if you will put your trust in him, he'll transform your life. I don't know if you'll be healed of cancer. I don't know if you'll be healed of a heart condition. I don't know what your problem is, but I do know who the Savior is. And I know that whether we live or whether we die, if we're trusting in Jesus, all is well with our soul. So thank you for listening. David, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you as you continue to live for him.
Thank you, Uncle Jim.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program, or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-888-8888. 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.